7BR Part Heard.
Hello and welcome to 7BR's Part Heard. This week we're taking a bit of a break from our usual programming and running a back-to-school mini-series for prospective and incoming pupils. I'll be speaking to some of 7BR's juniors across civil, family and crime about their experiences of pupillage, the type of work to be expected, and their advice for those starting out at the bar. Today I'm joined by Kat Shields, who joined 7BR after the successful completion of her pupillage in October 2018. Kat, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you very much.
So when did you start pupillage at 7BR?
I started my pupillage in October 2017 and I was taken on as a tenant 1 year later. So soon I will have been at 7BR for 3 years.
Do you have fond memories of your pupillage?
I do. I absolutely love my pupillage. I had a fantastic time. I had really great supervisors. I got to see all sorts of things, do lots of things on my feet, which sadly this year's pupils, I think, have not managed as much because of the pandemic. But yeah, I had a fantastic time. Really, really great.
And we didn't even pay you to say that.
No. Maybe in a cup of coffee later.
So Kate spoke a bit about the civil part of the structure of the pupillage and kind of explained how it works at 7BR, but I thought maybe you could talk a bit more about the criminal side, as that's kind of where your practice is moving towards, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So I still have a mixed practice because I'm very junior, and you know, the expectation is at 7BR that you would carry on a mixed practice for some years after tenancy. But yes, increasingly I do now practice in crime. So I'm very happy to talk about that side of things in pupillage. So the criminal 4 months of pupillage comes right in the middle of the year. So if you're listening, you might already know that 7BR's pupillage structure is split into thirds. So there's a 3 4-month stints. The criminal stint is usually the one right in the middle. And what that means as well is that it straddles your first six and you're practicing second six. And so you will generally have the same supervisor who is a criminal practitioner as you make that transition into practicing and being on your feet.
And what sort of things did you do in those first 6 2 months and then the second 6 2 months?
It was really interesting, my first half of the criminal stint. I was with Gareth Wheatman. He was my supervisor. And at the time, he was prosecuting a very large drugs trial in Derby. So I spent quite a lot of time on the circuit in the Midlands watching that trial. But as well, I would occasionally go with more junior members of chambers to watch criminal hearings. Gareth also had a junior in that case, that was Rose. So I was able to spend a lot of time with her, speaking about her practice. And also I was always encouraged to, you know, if there was a quiet day in our trial, sit at the back of another courtroom and watch what was going on in that court. So I got a whole range of criminal courtroom advocacy experience. And then also in that first stint, I was doing bits and bobs in terms of paperwork for the trial and for other criminal cases. So I was able to see things like the drafting of bad character applications, doing edits of police interviews for a trial, drafting things like speeches and agreed admissions for the jury. So I had a whole range of really fascinating experiences in that first 2 months of the 4 month criminal stint.
And then when you were on your feet, what sort of hearings made up the bulk of that?
So once I started on my feet, it was quite different from a big multi-handed drugs conspiracy trial, but it was still very interesting. So I did a lot of mention hearings, which are just very short criminal hearings, perhaps for administrative matters before a trial. I did lots of bail applications. I did lots of PTPHs. And I also did quite a few magistrates court trials. So I would prosecute the list for the day, or I would go and defend in the magistrates court.
So with bail applications, do you have any top tips for doing a good one? because you do a lot of those, don't you, over the course of...
Yeah, I did lots and lots. I still do quite a few now. But in second six, yeah, I was doing lots of bail applications, and it is really a mainstay, I think, of many second sixes if you're doing a crime element to your pupillage. So in terms of top tips, yeah, I think they're quite mysterious bail applications in a way. You know, you hear a lot about them. You don't often see them when you're in first six because they're held in chambers. So unless your pupil supervisor is doing a bail application, you wouldn't necessarily get to see one because everyone's cleared out of the courtroom when they take place. So there can be a bit of a mystique around them. I think my top tip would be that structure is key to a really good bail application, particularly if you're prosecuting. You really need to think about what it is the judge is going to have to decide, what the test is that the judge has to apply, and how you can fit your application around the criteria for objecting to bail, or if you're defending, how you can kind of persuade the court that those objections to bail don't necessarily apply in your case and the conditions that you want are reasonable for your client.
Well, I guess from the defence side, that same structure is important, but what are the other considerations?
If you're defending, there will typically be a written bail application that has been sent to the court before you get to the hearing. So you need to take account of what's said there and really consider whether the conditions that you're putting forward as potential bail conditions are actually reasonable and that your client can meet them. So, for example, your client might be asked to report at a particular police station, but the bail address that's been provided could be 10 miles away. You need to look out for things like that, practical considerations that are going to help your client to comply, because you don't want them to be released on bail that they can't comply with and then to come back for a breach hearing shortly thereafter.
And then aside from bail applications, what else made up the rest of the work that you did in your second six?
So I mentioned that I was quite often in the magistrate's court in my second six doing interesting work. So I would be prosecuting the list, or what's called the list, where you are the prosecutor in a particular courtroom for the day at the magistrate's court, and you will have to deal with everything that's in that court list, be it bail hearings, be it pre-trial hearings, or actually trials themselves. So that is a really excellent way to get really stuck into advocacy, I think, because you are preparing at short notice, you have to think on your feet, you really have to be compelling in the arguments that you're putting forward. So it's great training. The other things that I did in my second six, I did quite a few sentencing hearings in the Crown Court, and I did quite a lot of mention hearings, which is administrative hearings, getting ready for trial, chasing missing paperwork, dealing with bad character applications, those kind of things.
Well, maybe you could talk a bit then, sort of in the way that you did with the top tips of bail applications, top tips for sentencing hearings.
A top tip for sentencing hearing, again, structure is absolutely key. And I think if you are... But that goes for prosecuting or defending. If you're prosecuting, you have to be fair. You're not there to bang the drum and try to get the longest possible sentence, you know, come hell or high water. You need to be giving the judge a realistic picture of the offending when you describe the facts. Then you need to go on to consider the sentencing guidelines in a practical and realistic way. And you need to assist the judge with, you know, what guidelines they should be considering, how this offending falls into a particular category and what that means for sentence. And you also need to be able to help the judge with how the defendant's previous offending, if there is any, should play into the consideration of the sentence that's going to be passed. If you're defending, again, structure is really, really key. You might want to rebut some of the things that the prosecution have put forward about the sentencing guidelines and how they apply. You might say that it falls into a lower category of seriousness. But again, be realistic, and you need to put forward personal mitigation as well on behalf of your client. So you should be thinking about things like your client's employment, their stability within the community, whether they have a family, and you can put forward all those things to help your client, the personal, more human side of the story.
The other thing I was going to ask is whether your pupillage was what you expected it would be. Was there anything that really surprised you?
I think, quite honestly, my pupillage was much better than I expected it to be. I had been at bar school, you know, I'd read the Legal Cheek articles. We've all seen the horror stories on Twitter as well. So I was going into my pupillage with a bit of a sense of trepidation. but I had a great time. I really did enjoy it. One thing that surprised me, I have to say, was just how much time I spent on trains. I think you should be a fan of trains if you want to do pupillage. I spent a lot of time travelling. I enjoy it. I got to see parts of the country I'd never seen before in my pupillage. I went to Lincoln for the first time, which is one of the most beautiful places I think I've ever been in this country. So yeah, just be prepared to travel and travel at short notice. But if you enjoy that kind of thing, you will really have a great time.
So is it really your love of trains that's drawn you to Prime?
No, maybe the trains have grown on me as I've grown in my practice.
And then finally, so what did you do? Kate mentioned that in your final 4 months, you sort of have a bit more choice about what you'd like to do. So what did you do in your final 4 months?
Yeah, so my final 4 months, as you'll probably know if you're listening, you get to choose. So I chose to do 4 months of employment, which was fantastic. So my supervisor for employment was Elaine Banton, who is absolutely wonderful. You know, I had a great time. So I got to go to the employment tribunal with her and watch a couple of her cases from start to finish, which was, you know, so fascinating. I also did quite a bit of paperwork, which was employment related, which Elaine would set for me. So for example, you might do a chronology for a long-running employment case. I might have been drafting submissions for a tribunal matter, which was all, you know, super interesting. And then that also led to me doing very small but significant employment hearings as well in my second six. So in my, you know, towards the end of my pupillage, I was doing preliminary hearings in the employment tribunal, which are hearings which set up, get ready for the final hearing. And you might, you know, in those hearings be considering which legal claims should really be continuing to the tribunal, which ones might fall away, whether there's a dispute about, for example, the claimant's disability, if there's a disability discrimination case. So I was doing some of those hearings towards the end of pupillage, which was fascinating. And even now, I still do have an employment practice. It's an area of law that I find really, really interesting.
So finally, then, for those pupils starting in the next month or so, do you have one final piece of advice?
First of all, you should have as much fun as you can before you start your pupillage, because it is hard work, but you will enjoy it. And my practical tip is you should buy a two-wheeled suitcase, because more often than not, when you're on all those trains that I've talked about, your four-wheeled suitcase will roll away from you and disappear down the train. So a two-wheeled suitcase is the way to go.
Yeah, thank you for your pearls of wisdom.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of 7BR's Part Heard. Kat has actually written two helpful articles, one on her pupillage experience and another on how to conduct bail applications and other preliminary hearings via video link under the Coronavirus Act, both of which will be linked in the description and are available on our website.